I can never work this room quite right. When you moved up to the mountains, you obviously were not in the metropolitan area again. What activities, how did your activities and volunteer work change?
Well, I kept on with a number of my activities. I was on the Crippled Children Board of the state and the county. I kept that up and drove down and went up to San Francisco to meetings and came back on the plane and then went up to the mountains. I did that, and then I was also on the Republican County Board, and I continued with that, and I was also...
This is Los Angeles County?
Uh-huh. And I continued with two or three of the important things that I did until my term was over. And in the meantime, I became active in Idaho because there are lots of activities up there. So, you know, you adjust. My family wasn't very thrilled about me going up there and living by myself. And they were very frank to say they thought I was making a mistake. And I said, well, I'll just have to try it out. And I feel that it's the thing to do. And so I said, I'll just have to try it out. And if it doesn't work, why... I'm the one that's responsible, and you don't have to take any responsibility because you've said that you thought it was crazy for me to be up there by myself. So I did, and they realized afterwards that it was good for me because I would have, you know, I would have felt unhappy not to be able to do the thing that meant so much to me. And, of course, they loved it, and they came up often, and we had all kinds of exciting adventures and climbed up the top of the peak and stayed overnight and did all kinds of exciting things together as a family, and it meant a lot to them. And at one time, I had 9 of the small children up there for a month.
By yourself?
By myself,
you had 9 grandchildren?
9
by yourself?
Grandchildren. The youngest one was 2 years old.
What an undertaking.
Yes, it was very interesting. Very interesting.
You didn't get involved then as... deeply involved, I should say, up there.
Oh, no, you couldn't. Of course not. Naturally not.
Just a few more things that I would like to cover, and I want to save some tape because I like to have you do some little bit of reflecting for me at the end. How do you see the role of women today, and what are your attitudes toward the women's movements of today?
Well, I think women are really at the crossroads trying to find themselves, and I think many of them are confused, and they're picking up all of these movements and thinking, now there's the thing that I have been looking for, and then finding that that isn't it, just like the hippies. And like the ones that want to go out and live off of nature, and they find out that it isn't so easy to be self-sufficient on a little plot of land, and they finally have to give it up. And I think many of them are trying many things. I think their goal is worthy. I think it's fine. But in the process, many of them have gone to excess and trying drugs and trying this and that and some of the strange religions, and have found that they have not been what they looked for, and it's been very confusing for them. So I have seen some rather strange things happen in my life, and particularly in the last 10 years. The free speech movement went through that, and with all the four-letter words and so forth, and the mood of violence and a protest getting out of hand, and the free love, which they don't call it free love, the trial marriages and all that sort of thing, I think has been very sad, because up in the mountains in Idaho, we had a lot of that. We had them camping down on the stream, and they'd have maybe 2 and 3 dogs and sometimes goats and whatnot, and but they had nothing else. They just would, you know, run around and with very practically nothing on, and their children didn't have really much to eat, but they all were very kind to their children. But when they got old enough to ask questions about who's my father or who's my mother and all of these other things and find out that they were different, you could see a very strange look in their eyes, kind of a hurt look. So some very dreadful damage was done, I think, to children. They were the victims of circumstance. And some of those people finally decided that the only way to find happiness and get out of life what they wanted was to go through the system. Politically, they worked through the system instead of violence. And then also many of them have gotten married and decided that it means a lot. But of course, a lot of them haven't. A lot of them still live together. And some of them get married, some of them don't. But I think it's very sad. And I attribute a lot of it to the overemphasis on sex that has happened in the last few years and in motion pictures and in literature and everything and not only movies but in research showing pictures of the actual physical act of the sexual act, I think has been very bad because, to me, it is a very intimate type of relationship which, for a woman, is something that's the one thing that she has that no one but she can give. And if it's not appreciated, then it loses its spiritual value. Even the animals, you know, many of them do not just go around like dogs. They have one mate and sometimes even mate for life, and they only accept the one that is acceptable to them, as you probably have seen. And now that any old man, and what is it? Any old man in the port will do something. I've forgotten there's an old saying like that. But I feel very definitely that they've lost an awful lot of the spiritual side of the relationship between men and women, which to me is a very special, intimate, tremendously fine sharing of what is yours and no one else can have it except you. And I feel very strongly about that. I think it's too bad, but you can't change the world, and they have to learn that the hard way.
You say that you can't change the world. It's so very true.
But you can. You can keep your own standards, and if everybody did what they could do at their own level, then things would work out. Because many people want some of these finer things, but they go along with the crowd because they don't want to be laughed at. Your peer approval means so much, and so you don't have the courage to stand up for what you believe, really. So you go along and do what everybody else supposedly seems to be doing, and there you go. But I have always been very optimistic about the future. I feel that given time, the good old American people are going to come through all right. And
do you think the women's movements today are helping
in some ways? And I think in some ways they're hurting. I think the breakup of the family has been very sad, and the young people are commencing now to see the value of a strong family again, and they're asking for it, and they're commencing to recognize how important families are. When they used to not want, I don't want to be told. Let me alone. I want to do my own thing. And that generation gap. And I see very definite signs that there's a change back again. And I think it's all to the good.
Okay.
It used to be that, of course, grandparents lived in the family and did the babysitting and did the darning and all of that sort of thing. And then they, not only the families didn't want to have them there, you know, causing that dual authority, but also the grandmothers wanted to be independent, and so they moved out and lived by themselves. And then, of course, came the retirement homes, and a good many people feel that that's not normal, because you're with people your own age, and you don't have children around, so it isn't a normal way of life. So there have been so many, many adjustments. And in the old days, a long time ago, if the parents, when they got older, they couldn't keep up, I mean, in the way back, centuries ago, they would give them food and send them out, and they were nomads, you see, and they'd go from place to place, and if they couldn't keep up, why, they'd be giving them a certain amount of food and blankets and so forth, and they'd have to make their own way. If they couldn't, why, the wild animals would eat them up. And then later, they had what they called a mother-in-law home alongside of their own home. And when the children were born, and the mother-in-law, then the mother-in-law moved over to this other home. And so all the different ages have worked out what to do with grandma. And today we're in a very different position, because we live so much longer, and there's so many more of us. And women live longer than men, so there's so many more older women than there are older men, and there's so many more older people. So the change has been tremendous. But I still feel that women are trying to find themselves, and many of them are doing a good job, and some of them are getting more confused. So, but I think it'll turn out all right.
In looking back over 84 wonderful years of...
Not 84.
Oh,
I'll be 82.
82.
I'm 82.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm yeah. 2 years
old. Oh, I'm sorry that you're giving me more credit than I deserve.
In your 82 years of...
81 and a half. 82 in November.
Okay. We'll be very technical. 81 and a half. What do you think was the happiest time of your life?
Well, I would say, of course, when the children were growing up, and you were physically busy, and you were happy together and doing things together, I would say that was the happiest time. But I feel that every age has its compensations. And I think that if you are willing to see that, you can enjoy each different stage in your life. And I think the later years have great compensation and joy. But so many people fight it. And if you fight it, why, you don't enjoy it. And if you do, it's a very happy time.
What do you think would be, you could describe as the most fulfilling part of your life?
Good health, I would say. Good health and an outlook on life, an optimistic outlook, and faith in not only your the good of your own family, but in your fellow man, and looking for
that
the good.
That is the most fulfilling aspect.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. A very hypothetical question. If you had anything that you could do over again, what would you do differently?
Oh, I probably would do a lot of things differently, but I don't know whether they'd be any better or worse. I'm sure I'd do a lot of things differently, but I don't know if it's any one thing, except that I probably would be more tolerant and more... take more time for things to work out, instead of wanting instant answers to problems. Give time more chance to work out these things. I would say that would be what I would do, and that would cover everything, your relationship with everybody, to be calmer and take more time to let things work out. The mills of the gods grind slowly but exceedingly fine. That's an old saying, and I certainly agree with that. And if you try to push it, why, just like a rose, if you try to make it open too fast, then you have spoiled its beauty. So if you allow people to grow slowly and naturally and help them reach their best potential, then you not only have adjusted to life, but you have helped the individual whose responsibility is yours. It's under your care. And so in looking back, I would say that would be the big thing, more patience and tolerance and willing to let time and tide work things out with faith in God's mission in life for you and for your family. I feel that everybody has a mission in life. So many people don't realize that they, oh, I hate myself, I'm no good. And that, of course, is unless you learn to appreciate yourself and the good potential within you, you never can expect anybody else to appreciate you or enjoy you or want you for a friend. You've got to like yourself first. And if you don't, well, you better find out what's wrong and then change it. Mm-hmm. You've heard people say, I hate myself, haven't you? Mm-hmm. Many times. I'm no good. I can't do it. Mm-hmm. Negative approach and so forth.
As far as your retirement is concerned, can you give me a little background on your lifestyle here at the PEO retirement home, how you selected this, and maybe even give a little background, what background you can give of PEO, so that you had mentioned that it was a sisterhood at the first time we got together. Mm-hmm. And this is something that I would like to have you explain a little, because this is such a unique setting. Yep. Here, I think.
Of course, retirement homes in general are of several different kinds. You can have retirement homes where they have maybe 55 years old and older, where they are allowed to live together. Some of them have separate apartments with kitchens, and some of them eat at a community dining room. And they all pay a certain amount per month. Others pay a down payment, which covers your life care, and it may include hospital care and so forth and so on. So there are many different kinds. Some of them are commercial, by a commercial company. Some of them are managed by churches and different organizations, or like the Masons or the Shriners or the BPOE and different organizations.
B-P-O-E?
So that's the Elks.
Oh, that's
B-P-O-E,
yeah, okay.
The Elks. And so the reason that I put my name in after my husband died, I've had it in a long time because I didn't know when I might be interested in wanting to come, is because I happen to belong to PEO, which is an organization, a national organization of women. And they all have a very high standard. They're fellowship and philanthropic. We have a college. And
the college?
College is in Nevada, Missouri. You know, they call it Nevada here, but it's Nevada, Missouri. And we not only support that, but pay for it entirely. And we have scholarships, and we have loan funds and all that sort of thing to help students, whether they're PEOs or not. We have loan funds. We do all kinds of things of that type.
Are you?
So it's a very high type of an organization.
Are you invited to be a PEO?
Yes, you have to be invited. You're voted on and all that sort of thing. You're recommended by someone who's already in PEO. So it's a very nice organization and the people in it. For instance, in this home, they've all been PEOs, so you see you have something in common.
Does PEO cover a whole range of ages, for instance?
Yes, yes.
Could myself at 28
yes.
be a PEO?
Oh, yes, yes. You could be invited to be in when you were 70. That has nothing to do with it. Mm-hmm. You have to believe in God, and you have to be a well-rounded person, or you wouldn't be recommended. So it's a very nice organization. So I put my name in, and then you tell them when you want to be active. If you don't want to be active for 10 years or 3 years or 4 years, you say, I'm not ready yet. And every once in a while, they'll say, write to you and say, are you interested? And there's an opportunity for a room, and then you write back and say, no, I'm not ready yet. So when it got to be difficult to get help up there, and I was shoveling snow and doing all those things, my family got to worrying about me living up there by myself. Okay. And even if you pay them, they say, I don't like to shovel snow. And I said, well, I don't either, but if you have to do it, you have to do it. And so they got to worrying about me, and they said I shouldn't stay up there in the winter anymore. So I decided I would come down for the next winter. And then I got a letter from the PEO home here that I was number 4 on the list, and they said, would you be interested in having the opportunity of coming in when you get to be number 1? So I wrote back and said, yes, I would. So I only had 2 weeks after they wrote to me later. I only had 2 weeks in which to get ready to go, because otherwise I would have missed out coming in this new building. So I had to just get up and go and make arrangements to leave and so on and so forth, which was a little difficult. But I kept the house for a year and a half after that, trying to keep it, you know, but it just didn't work out being away. So I had to keep going back up and forth and taking care of things. And I had guests that were going to be up there, and I'd have to go up and get the place ready. And it got to be too much, so I decided, you know, we had a family consultation, and the children were grown and having to do their own thing. You know, some of them were going to college, and some of them were married and had children, and they couldn't come as often as they used to. And it was just right for me to make the change. And so it was just one of those things that the time had come, and I didn't. I just was grateful that we'd had all these wonderful years, and we miss it, but it was just right, and you have to adjust to things. So in I came. And if you come with the right attitude into any kind of a home, you come knowing that this is a change in your life, and that there'll be rules, that you can't be as independent as you used to be. And you understand that. You don't look for all the things that you are going to dislike. You'll enjoy it, but if not, you won't. And some people can't do it. Some people can't make it at all.
It seems like you have a great deal of freedom here.
Oh, yes.
The amount of traveling
that you do. There are lots of rules here, but they all have good sense. For instance, we can wear slacks in the morning, but you have to dress at night. And there are certain things we can cannot do, but they play them down. You know when you come what they are, and unless you get out of line, nobody ever mentions it. And there's lots of freedom, and we're not organized to death. There are plenty of things that you can do if you want to, and if you don't have to, why, that's fine. You can carry on your own life. All you have to do is let them know where you are and when you'll be back, and so on and so forth. Now, if you go away, you have to pay for your meals, whether you eat them or not, and things like that, but that's fine. And then we have our rest cottage here, so you're taken care of, and everything is really just beautifully done.
You mentioned
gracious living.
It certainly is. You mentioned, I believe it was today, that you are president or were president of PEO?
My own chapter.
Oh, your own
it
chapter.
It was in this thing. I was president at the time when they wrote this. Yes. I was president of Glendale. I belong to the Glendale chapter.
The Glendale chapter.
I was president of PEO at the time this article was written.
Oh.
I go back to my chapter now. You see, I couldn't when I was in the mountains. I'd go maybe twice a year, but I can go over to Glendale twice a month. and I do very often. I have two daughters who are also in the chapter, so it makes it very nice.
Yes, it does, and the fact that it's everyone from...
That's right.
Very young to...
Uh-huh, and we have wonderful programs and do very interesting things.
It really sounds like it. I think that I have covered everything that's on my list, and I think that you have explained and answered my questions very well, that I'm satisfied. I might think of something as soon as I listen to
it. This is something that you wouldn't know to ask me, but one of the things that I've remembered over my life, when I was growing up, I would hear people say, I think I told you this, isn't she healthy looking, you know, which I was. I've always been very healthy, and I don't, you know, have to take a lot of medicines, everything. In fact, I don't even take aspirin. I've always been very healthy and strong and all that sort of thing, and I think that has a lot to do with your outlook on life. But in later life, I've had strangers. Now, this is very strange. If it had happened once, I wouldn't have thought much about it, but it's happened over and over and over. When I went to Montana 2 summers ago, I had to go on a bus to Billings to get the plane. And a woman was sitting next to me on the bus, whom I'd never seen before, and she kept looking at me, and she kept looking at me. I talked to her, you know, casually, and she kept looking at me, and I thought, well, isn't it funny? I wonder what's wrong. Pretty soon she said, do you mind if I tell you something? And I said, no, what is it? She said, you have such a nice face, and I've just been thinking about it, and you must have had an interesting not life, and you must have had people that liked you a lot. And I've had numbers of people tell me that I have a nice face.
Well,
but of course it is true.
That's a very high compliment.
But what I mean is, a person doesn't realize that all of your thoughts and all of the things you do have a reflection in your face, particularly when you're in repose, when you're not, what is it, compose your face in a pleasant, there's an old saying, compose yourself in pleasant lines or something like that, but without being thinking about it, if you're just natural, what you are shows in your face.
What you are shows in your face.
That's right.
I think that's a good way to end.
But that really is true, and so when that has happened over and over, I thought, now isn't that a reward?
It's happened more than once.
Oh yes, many times. And with even children, they say, I like your face. Yes. One even came up and patted my face and said, I like your face.
That's good. That's true. That's cute. That is a very nice way to end.
And you know, my children are always very sweet about writing, you know, Mother's Day cards and Christmas, and they write special letters and all that sort of thing rather than just a card that you buy. And I remember several of them said in similar words, they said the thing that they thought was so outstanding was that I cared so much, which I thought was nice.
Yeah. Well,
and I've always, my family and my husband and the unit has been the center of my life regardless of what else I did. That was it.
The family is the center.
Uh-huh.
And we are just about out of tape.